Greetings and welcome to the Dead Harvey Podcast. Today, I'd like to talk about experimental art and exactly how experimental is too experimental. And what better movie to highlight this subject than Skinamarink? Skinamarink is a $15,000 micro-budget movie that made, at least last time I checked, about $2 million at the box office. The director, Kyle Edward Ball, did a movie called Heck on YouTube, which was a short film that was the basis for, like, a proof of concept, basis for the feature Skinamarink. Basically, Skinamarink is about a couple of kids that are sort of trapped at home. The windows and the walls disappear, and they're experiencing kind of a living nightmare. The main thing about this movie that makes it different is its highly experimental style. Essentially, to shortcut that, most of the movie is made off of cutaways, basically focusing anywhere but the subject and then just hearing voices. It reminds me of this class that I had in college called Performance Experiment. I think it was one of the very first classes that the Performance Experiment class was an experiment in and of itself. It was like the first time that kind of class had been offered when I went there. And the teacher was very like into European stuff and experimental stuff and non-linear kind of filmmaking. And it was kind of funny too, because when he talked, he sort of sounded like Fozzie Bear. So imagine Fozzie the Bear as like a hipster professor with a ponytail. So the teacher... We all gather around. It's like a 2-hour class or something like that. So the teacher takes a pencil and he uses it to put a dot on a piece of paper. And then he goes around the room and he says, "Is this art?" So it sponsors this whole debate about what is art and what isn't, and how these paintings that are very simplistic or just like one color with like maybe like one thing on them sell for millions of dollars. Kind of the things that make you wonder about modern art. How is that selling for that much? But anyways, art is all subjective, and that's what this is all about. One person's treasure is another person's trash, etc., etc. Although, with movies, I haven't really seen a movie done like this before. At least a feature. This was so completely experimental. And I almost went to go see this at the theater, too. I remember, like, hearing about this movie. There was the buzz. It was playing at, like, this little art house theater that we have in town here. But I was like, well, if I go to that theater, the projector is probably going to break, because it's like a digital projector, but it still breaks. A couple of times that I've been there before, it like breaks and they're like, "Oh, we can't show the movie." Or you wait like a half an hour and then they're like, "Oh, we can't show the movie." All the weird stuff like that happens in there. And it's a bummer because I very much want to support art house films in the theater. But there are some theaters that just are not properly run. Either that or you get like a very pretentious vibe when you go into them. And everything there is like super overpriced. And the chairs are uncomfortable, too. Like, the least you could do, you know, to market to somebody that watches movies a lot and is a movie buff is to give them a comfortable seat, especially when there's all this competition going on with streaming and everything else. But anyways, that's the end of my rant on that. So because there was a couple of things sort of dissuading me to get off my ass, to go to some place to sit on my ass, when I could have just... I could just sit on my ass at home. I was waiting for it to come out to Shudder. I was like, well, it's going to be out to Shudder in like a couple of weeks. But should I see it in the theater? I was like, no, I'll just wait for it to go to Shudder. And I'm glad I did. Especially once I started seeing some of the earlier reviews on this movie. And then when I saw it when it was on Shudder. This is a movie that should have had a disclaimer in front of it. We should have had a disclaimer that said, you're about to watch a movie that is mostly cutaways and doesn't really show anybody's face. Especially the main characters. There's only a couple of people in this movie, and you don't really see them. You may see the back of their head or their feet, but you won't really see the main characters. And the dialogue will be mostly inaudible to the point where they got to subtitle it. It's going to seem like you're on drugs without the benefit of actually getting the good feeling of being on drugs, but having the disorientation and just feeling like out of place in time and space, more or less. But I remember so many times our teachers in school forcing us to watch these really, really long, pretentious movies. And I remember after that, well, I'm glad they did because, you know, when you're younger, or when I was younger, I didn't have as much appreciation for those kind of movies, but I do now. But they're kind of also sort of hit and miss with me. You know, everybody responds to different movies different ways and how a movie is presented. But to me, There were elements of it that I thought were really cool and really kind of creepy. But also at the end of the day, it's a movie that's basically a bunch of cutaways. I mean, I'm not kidding either. It's like a couple minutes of looking at a wall, 30 seconds of looking at a floor, a couple minutes of looking at some Legos. The windows and everything disappearing is creepy. And I'm surprised it didn't give me nightmares as well, too. Because there's subconsciously, when you watch this movie, you imagine it to be constructed where it works subconsciously. These kids are there, like one of the kids gets in an accident. Then the parents are talking on the phone about a kid's going to the hospital. Then the parents disappear, and these kids start hearing the voices of this monster. So because of all, like, what you're looking at is cutaways when you're watching the movie, and you're just hearing, like, you occasionally will hear this, like, voice of this dark presence that's in the room, like, telling one of the kids, like, take the knife and put it in your eye, like, stuff like that is creepy. I was like, whoa. Like, there's a couple of pretty effective jump scares in the movie, one especially, but there's general creepiness to it, which I would have thought, like, I'm just going to watch this late at night, and I'll sort of let it soak into my brain, and I may be able to work, like, give me, like, some weird nightmares, you know? I was kind of, like, half creeped out, even though I've watched countless horror movies. I still get to the point where if something affects me in a way that's primal, and like most of these micro-budget movies do, they all connect on some kind of a primal level, which is what we talk a lot about. But I think the most effective ones have, like especially Blair Witch, Paranormal and Activity, all that stuff works on like a very primal level. I did get a feeling of creepiness, of uneasiness when I was watching the movie. Like nothing that'll stick out in my head like Ari Aster's movies did, like Hereditary or Midsommar or anything like that. But it is a movie that requires you to use your imagination to fill in the blanks about what the monster could be or exactly what's going on in this dreamlike state that the kids are in front of. So on that level, it's cool that they did it this way. On the other hand, if I were to go see this movie in a theater and be expecting a more conventional movie, I would just feel like I was tortured the entire way through. Because some of the stuff when you're watching is like, oh, this is kind of a cool experiment. But basically what I'm thinking mostly is this needed to be a short movie. They should have just kept it as the short movie that he did. But I guess when this movie was playing at a festival, it leaked out. So that's how it got all the press. A digital copy of it leaked out, and that's how it got all the press. But on the other hand, just because something is so unusual and so different doesn't mean that it's going to be some sort of manna from heaven and it's going to be this perfect new way to do everything. You know, it's a movie that where some things work, some things don't, just like a lot of other movies. But it's a movie that's a very interesting experiment. Anyways, I'm very glad that I waited to watch this on Shudder, because I would have been, depending, especially if I was tired, I may have walked out of the theater. But because I know I'm getting to a certain point, nothing's going to happen. It'll be, I'll just watch the rest of it on Shudder. If I just want to, you know, because in art house theaters, those things, they're hard to sleep in. You know, if they want to expose people to like very long and pretentious movies in art house theaters, you need to give somebody a couch, let them stretch out or something. Anyways, this movie wasn't, I don't think this movie was pretentious. I just thought it was expecting the audience to go too far to stay with the movie. What I mean by that is like if the experimental portions of it were in segments and kind of interspersed into the movie, as opposed to, you know, kind of like Oliver Stone used to do, and he used to use all the different experimental film styles and everything else. If it was kind of woven into a more conventional movie, and then it had these elements to it, they were like, oh, this is a really cool thing to cut away to, or like when you go to the kids and you see it from their perspective and they're seeing it through their connection with the dream world and then seeing it that way, I think that would have worked a lot better for me than and how they did it. But, you know, the director, Kyle Edward Ball, he definitely made a decision on what he wanted to do. He stuck with it. The movie works for some. I've seen some reviews where people really like it and really connect with it, and then others where people just absolutely hate it. So it's going to be one of those things that's either going to work for you or it won't. To me, it was kind of a little bit of a hodgepodge. I did watch it twice just to see like what kind of subliminal stuff I could get out of it, and I had to watch it in installments because it's very difficult to make it through in one sitting, just because it is mostly cutaways and you get bored. Which is a shame because there is so much creepy stuff in the movie that I think if they would have made some different decisions to hook the viewer, and then basically if there were decisions made to hook me into watching it where it wasn't so repetitive, then I would have stayed in the movie and wanted to keep watching instead of watching in installments. Once you watch something in installments, it takes you out of the movie and it doesn't have that full effect that the movie's meant to have on you. That's the only way I could get through it. I'm actually very glad that the director did this movie the way that he did it, because it opens up the doors for super unconventional filmmaking. And it means that you could actually make money off of it as a filmmaker. However tortured I felt in moments of watching this movie, I think the director opened up doors for a lot of people. Because, you know, when you go to film school, a lot of the teachers will tell you, you can break the rules after you learn them. But a lot of teachers are very, at least when I went, were very rigid about, if I were to do a movie like that, they would have probably given me an instant F. But on the other hand, teachers like to debate about whether it's art or not. So if you can convince a teacher that it's open for debate about whether it's art or not, then you'll at least get a C, which is sort of like a closing story here. In one of our senior projects of school, everybody had to make a movie. And the assignment was that you had to have first act, middle act, and first, second, and third act. And so that's the rules that a lot of us were following. And then one of the members of our class just threw this complete curveball, and he decided to do like a chain video. So what he did is he shot a video of a cat on a fence, that's perched on this fence, just one static shot for 4 minutes of a cat sitting on a fence. And then he sent the camera with the tape in it to several other people, and he had them make their own movies. And so this was like a chain video letter, basically. And I can't remember whether the guy that made the movie told the other people that he was sending the tape to whether they could watch anything before they made their movie. But regardless, the movies that came back were very interesting, and they were all different. Sometimes it was weird. It was some were just people hanging out in their kitchen and things like that. But the one movie that kind of overshadowed everything else was that this, he sent it to an adventurous couple that decided to film themselves having sex. So basically they made kind of like a porn. So when that was shown in class, the class went over because there was just this big debate about whether it was art or not. And the guy ended up getting like a C or something like that. He may have even gotten a C+. And I was just thinking to myself, this guy ignored the entire assignment. He made a movie where a cat sitting on a fence, he had everybody else do the work for him. And by the time anybody thought of questioning him about whether he didn't follow the rules of the assignment, they were too caught up debating whether it was art or not that he just got away with it. It was the laziest approach to making a movie I've ever seen, which is kind of brilliant because he didn't really have to put any actual work into it aside from filming a cat. And he still got a better grade than most people that went to all this planning to make their movie. So it's kind of what it's like with experimental movies. In the experimental process, and sometimes the result is that it mines for gold and it finds it. And sometimes the result is that it mines for gold and it hits a sewer line. But anyways, your reaction to that, but everybody's reaction to that is going to be different, which is kind of what's so awesome about art being as subjective as it is. However, that being said, I love the fact that the guy made a movie like this and made money off of it and could have a career for himself. On the other hand, I think if you're going to show a movie like this in a theater that's going to be this experimental, put a disclaimer up and let people know what they're getting into. Because, man, that would have been real torturous seeing this at the theater. So did you see Skinamarink? Let me know what you thought. And that is it for this week. And until next time, watch what you eat before you go to sleep, because some foods have given me the nightmare effect that I thought I was going to have from watching this movie. Food can do weird stuff to dreams. And also, if you notice that the windows and the doors are disappearing, go to the hospital right away, unless you're on drugs, and then just kind of ride it out if you can. All right, well, we'll see you next time on the Dead Harvey Podcast.